Klangvoll. Aus dem Maschinenraum des Musikbetriebes. Der Podcast von Gerald Mertens und Schott Music.
Willkommen zu einer neuen Folge von Klangvoll. Ich bin Gerald Mertens. Mein Gesprächsgast heute ist Matthew Robinson. Er ist seit September 2019 der bundesweit erste festangestellte Community Musician am Konzerthaus Dortmund. Hallo und willkommen. Hi Matthew.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Wir springen heute ein wenig zwischen deutscher und englischer Sprache. Matthew, du wechselst zwischen Deutsch und Englisch, so wie es für dich am besten passt. Bevor du 2019 am Konzerthaus Dortmund angefangen hast, warst du rund 15 Jahre bereits als Community Musician tätig, hauptsächlich in Großbritannien, aber auch in Hongkong und in Norwegen. In Deutschland bist du sowas wie ein Exot. Seit Beginn der Spielzeit 2022/23 gibt es Community Music auch noch bei der Elbphilharmonie in Hamburg. Wie beschreibst du dein Berufsbild? Was machst du genau?
That's an excellent question. And the question I get asked most often in Germany is, yeah, oh great, you're a community musician. What on earth does that mean? And the simple answer is that my job is to make music with people and with anyone and everyone, and to build connections and to build community with them. Community music is an old sort of format that's been practiced in the UK and elsewhere around the world for decades, if not longer. And is built on a foundation of that cultural participation is a human right and that everyone should be able to access that. So that's what we do. We make music with people, enable cultural democracy, however high or you sort of want to make that. But we make music with people.
Das ist also eine sehr niedrigschwellige Arbeit, wie man so schön sagt. Also so etwas wie ein Musikvermittler und musikalischer Sozialarbeiter, kann man das so beschreiben?
Yeah, we're kind of both, and more than that. In Musikvermittlung or education work, the job, you know, occasionally I teach or we do that sort of thing and we enable access to classical music or whatever. But more of the time, we make music with people that is their own music, that is relevant for them, and that might be classical music or whatever else, but quite often not. And we constantly find that balance. And when we make community, or we find them, or work with them, I'm a musician, so I use music as a tool to do that because it's universal, and there is no end goal to that is that I decide. Community music uses an end point that is decided by the community as equal partners, whether that's an orchestra or a concert hall or the guy who lives over there around the corner. We're all equal.
Also es gibt keine vorgefertigten Ergebnisse, so ein bisschen der Weg ist das Ziel, könnte man fast sagen. Also ihr macht es einfach, um Menschen mit der Musik zu erreichen, einzubinden. Du hast es schon gesagt, du bist studierter Musiker. Welche Fächer oder Instrumente hast du mal studiert?
I'm a jazz clarinetist originally. Yeah, I did. Well, I found my way into this world as a kind of teenager in Morecambe, which is a little seaside town in the northwest of England. So my first experience of anything musical really was in a community music project. But then sort of through that, and so my first concert or first gig was on stage at Birmingham Symphony Hall, having played clarinet for like a week or something. And that kind of was life-changing for me. And then from that, I sort of, you know, studied clarinet more and more and got good enough to go to Leeds College of Music and study jazz. And in that, like everything in the UK, there's community music involved in it. But yeah, I'm a jazz clarinetist and I did that for many years.
Ja, du hast es schon gesagt, Community Music existiert im UK, in Großbritannien ja bereits seit den 1970er Jahren. Es gibt ja sogar ein eigenes Center for Community Music im Umfeld des Royal College of Music und der York University. Kann man Community Music in Großbritannien als Hauptfach studieren?
Yeah, totally. And also in Germany as well. It's starting, there's a Master's in Community Music and Inclusive Music Pedagogic in Eichstätt. And there's starting to be some studies at Hochschule Düsseldorf as well. But in the UK, it's very, very widespread. There are specific courses, like at Goldsmiths in London, and used to be at the Sage Gateshead, where you can get a master's or a bachelor's or doctorate in community music. But it's also that if you study music in the UK, that there is a part of that that is going to be community music, because everyone does it. It's so ingrained in the cultural life of the place that every university that does music has some element of it, but also every cultural institution, every music institution, every concert hall, opera house, or whatever in the UK has to do some form of community music and do it well in order to get their core funding. And in order to sustain that, of course, you need a big workforce of community musicians or people that are socially engaged musicians, at least.
Hast du eine Erklärung, warum Deutschland im Vergleich zu Großbritannien in Sachen Community Music noch so weit zurückliegt? Womit hängt das womöglich zusammen?
I don't know. I think in the UK, it's kind of grown up there in a way. It came out of kind of very activist 60s and 70s sort of protest movements, and then found its way into kind of, you know, institutions as part of and organizations and academia. And in Germany, that wasn't the case, but also elsewhere in the world. I think what's so wonderful about when I came to Germany is how valued art and culture is generally in society. And that feels very different on a fundamental level from the UK. And in the UK, then it's, you know, as part of arts having to justify itself constantly and finding new ways of doing that within society and politics and culture, that community music and community arts and whatever else has found its way into that and has become part of the bedrock of the place. And in Germany, it hasn't needed to do that so much. So there hasn't been a call from the kind of, you know, if you don't have your sponsors or money givers going, you have to do this, then you don't. That's not to say that places don't do community music or don't do socially engaged practice or really great education, Music for Midland work, for loads of brilliant reasons. But I think there's a difference from wanting to and feeling that and you having to or your core business disappears.
Ja, also eine traditionelle Argumentation einerseits aus der Tradition der 60er, 70er Jahre Protestbewegung, aber eben auch aus dem Druck, sich doch mehr rechtfertigen zu müssen für das öffentliche Geld, was man in Großbritannien bekommt. Ich denke mal, das trifft es wohl. Wen erreichst du mit deinem Team vor Ort? Wo sprecht ihr die Menschen in Dortmund an? Was macht ihr genau?
So in Dortmund, we've been working here for 3.5 years now. At first, it was just me, which was very exciting. And now there's three full-time members of the team, Marlene and Elisa and myself. And we, in that time, have worked with 10,000 people throughout Dortmund, mainly very local to the concert house. And we run 27 regular projects. So every day, there's two or three workshops happening in the concert house, in community centres, in cafes, on the street. There we build festivals, we connect them with this place and put people on stage, but not very often because that's not the goal. But we write songs, we teach instruments, we sit around and eat cake, we do loads and loads and loads of stuff. And it's all about empowering people and bringing people together. And that's the kind of, and through that process and through constantly doing it and constantly being open, and everyone is welcome to all of our stuff all of the time. And through that process, we make change happen. We empower people, we inspire them, we bring communities together for the first time. They meet people they've never met before. And that's super important, especially, and crucially, they meet this institution for the first time, and the other way around, in that the institution meets the community and the people that live here in Dortmund. You know, we look out of our offices into the flats of refugees, and that is an odd experience that these two worlds kind of live on top of each other. And for 17 years, had never really spoken. When I arrived, I went round and spoke to every shopkeeper locally. And I would go, oh, hi, I'm Matt. I'm from Konzerthaus Dortmund. And they'd go, oh, what's that? And I could point to the building. And I go, oh, it's that place. And they go, oh, right, okay. And what happens there? Because we see lots of rich people going every day. And they never spend money in our shops. What happens? What do they do? They go, oh, it's a concert hall. And they go, ah, right, okay. It's like, you can come if you want. And they go, no, that's not for me. That's not my place. Even if they like the music. And so it's in that world, in between these, that we work and building these connections. And we do that mainly through workshops, but also festivals on the streets and events. And or we'll just go and speak with people. There's 572 flats in the Brookviertel, and I know that because I've visited every single one of them and talked to them and eaten cake and drunk coffee with them, and slowly sort of building this connection and warmth and trust that we're not here just to do, you know, we're not here to kind of make a thing that looks good for the press or whatever once. No, we really mean it when we say you can call us anytime, and maybe we'll make music if that's a useful thing, or maybe if you need someone just to chat to, we're also here. And so that's what we do every day, is just this constant thing.
Hast du Beispiele für besonders erfolgreiche Projekte oder ein besonders berührendes Feedback aus deiner Arbeit jetzt in den letzten 3,5 Jahren?
Yeah, I've so many. We have, yeah, we've worked with 10,000 people and we have 10,000 stories of, yeah, people who hated the concert house, really hated it, but now feel like this place is home for them and work here. Or like refugees. So we work a lot at the moment with Ukrainian refugees, kids who are mostly unaccompanied. And in 2 weeks, we're going to put them on a stage here and shoot a music video with them in German, probably, because we're partnering them up with another school in Dortmund, and they're making friends between them digitally, and they'll meet on stage at the concert house. Or like a kid who, like Lucas, who's an amazing drummer, but it was unteachable according to lots and lots and lots of people, but found his place here and now has performed with the LSO, even though he's 8 years old, because he performed in their Generalprobe. And those moments, just, you can see the joy of this work, because a lot of it's really difficult when you work in communities every day. But the joy is that occasionally you see these breakthrough moments where you can just see it in their eyes, when their eyes light up. And that can be musical, and it can happen here in the house, but also it can be just that they find some friends for the first time. You know, social isolation here and poverty are big issues. And so sometimes they just kind of, you know, find some warmth and find someone to talk to. And that's been really amazing, of seeing people kind of, the best story is that we have a Seniorensingen project on Mondays. And that started in lots of places around Dortmund. And then we brought them together in Concert House. And there's two of them, Rudy and Emma. And I think Rudy is 94 years old. And they live alone and isolated. And I think one of them phoned the office once and went, hi, do you do the choir for lonely people? I went, oh, well, we don't really call it that. We just, you know, but you're welcome to come along. There's coffee and cake. And Marlene recognised about 6 months ago that Rudy and Emma started coming together to the workshop every week. I went, what's happening here? And they're like, oh, well, you know, we're now living together. And it's super. And they went on holiday together, I think to Mallorca or something. It's the most wonderful thing and would have only happened through, you know, us singing silly songs on a ukulele on a Monday morning. It's, yeah, just joyous.
Ja, das ist eine sehr schöne Geschichte, wie du auch ältere Menschen damit einfach zusammengeführt hast und denen auch im hohen Alter noch ein Stück weit Lebensfreude offenbar vermittelt hast. Das ist ja sehr berührend. Glaubst du, dass sich Community Music in Deutschland in den kommenden Jahren weiter etablieren wird?
Yeah, I think so. From the conversations I've been having with people, I think there's certainly coming out of Corona and COVID times. It became really obvious to people that community is really important to people. Just generally, as soon as we lost it, we lost the ability to actually meet people. That we realized, oh, that's a big part of what we are. And music and culture as well, is that actually we need these things. And so I think coming out of that, more and more people and organizations and institutions are going, oh, actually, we could be doing something in this direction, or doing more, or, you know, how do we use these great buildings and organizations that we have and do a little bit more with them so we don't just stay in this place, but we sort of go out in the world a little bit, or invite the world here and somehow do both. And if we do that, we make it all a bit more magical. And I think that's becoming... I mean, I'm certainly having more and more conversations with people and organizations, and people go, oh, yeah, okay, so maybe we can do this other thing. And on one level, it's just really simple. You know, I constantly get asked, like, oh, how do you do it? And, you know, how did you start? We want to do this. How did you start? And I go, well, I went round and talked to every shopkeeper, and I knocked on every door and said hello. And... you go, okay, and then what did you do? It's like, well, we mainly ate cake. Well, a lot of people ignored me, and then we ate cake and drank coffee. The Nazis that had a shop around the corner at the time really hated me, but I went back every week trying to invite them to workshops, and they really didn't like me, but I thought it was really funny. And yeah, and then when I make a promise to those people that, oh yeah, we're here, and you are welcome, and I don't care if you play an instrument or if you're the greatest violinist ever in the world, you're welcome and we will make something brilliant together. Just come or just phone me up. Then I keep that promise when you turn up, and that it's welcoming and you are welcome and it will all be fine and brilliant. And that's as simple as it is. And I think more and more places are starting to go, oh yeah, actually, I could see us doing this. And I could see how that benefits stuff. So that's really exciting.
Ja, was meinst du, was muss dafür noch geschehen? Also es gibt Ausbildungsgänge inzwischen in Deutschland, die ersten. Aber wo kommen die Musikerinnen und Musiker her, die so einen Job machen wie du? Ist das dann eher Training, Learning on the Job? Also dass die jetzt schon Music Education, Musikvermittlung machen, sich in Richtung Community Music weiterentwickeln? Weil es braucht ja wirklich Man and Women Power, um diesen doch sehr anspruchsvollen Job, dieses Brückenbauen, Building Bridges to the Communities, um das wirklich fortzusetzen. Bist du da einer derjenigen, die weiterbildet?
Yeah, probably. No, there are a few places. Like Musicians Without Borders do some really great stuff. And there are universities where you can learn kind of the theory and the academia behind it. I didn't learn that when I started. I think, and this is a discussion we constantly have in our team because we have training programs and all this, is that actually the best thing is to just go and do it and learn on the job. And all the theory in the background is brilliant. And if you know that, awesome. It really makes life a lot easier in the early sort of stages. You go, oh, that's why that didn't work, because I didn't do that thing. But most of it is just going and meeting people. Go and sing with your neighbours. You know, go, oh, actually, how about this, I don't know, Sylvester, we have a great big party on our street and we'll all sing together at some point. And then work out collectively how to make that happen. And if you do make it happen, it'll be wonderful. And you'll always remember it. And it's little moments like that. And then building from there. I think there's a lot to be said in this work for just doing it. In fact, I was in Leeds in the UK a couple of weeks ago, working with a great company called Slung Low, who are a community theatre company, and also one of the best producing theatre companies in the country. But they're grounded in the local community. It's brilliant. And they were saying, actually, the more we talk about it, the more reasons we find not to do these things. So we'll just do it because we think it's good. And then we'll worry about it. And they, on that day, it was Easter, so they were delivering 2,000 chocolate eggs and hiding them around the town. And then text everyone they knew on the day and went, we've hidden 2,000 chocolate eggs. Go find them. Good luck. And it's just a marvellous little bit of sort of creativity, but also just wonderfulness. And it's just, you know, and you could find loads of reasons not to do that. But actually, the joy of it is just doing it. And then you sort of build trust. Because so often, and like in Dortmund, which is quite a working class city, which I love because that's my background as well, but is that people are very used to being told things like, oh yeah, we'll do this. And they go, oh yeah, really? Sure. And then you actually do something and then they trust you and believe you. So I think, anyway, go back to your question. I think, yeah, just do it. And then go to some training stuff and go, oh, that's why that didn't work. Okay, I'll do it this way this time. But you build trust through that process. And that's how you build community, fundamentally.
Welche Rolle spielt dabei Gesang? Weil in Deutschland haben wir ja so auch das Thema, dass Volkslieder und auch überhaupt das Singen in der Familie, im Kindergarten, in der Schule hat ja sehr gelitten, ist immer weniger geworden. Das ist in Großbritannien, also da wird ja auch im Pub immer noch mal gesungen oder auch ansonsten spielt Musik im Tagesgeschäft und auch gerade Singen im Tagesgeschäft doch noch aus meiner Wahrnehmung eine größere Rolle. Wie nimmst du das in Dortmund wahr, wo ihr sehr unterschiedliche Communities habt. Wie ist der Zugang gerade über Stimme und Gesang? Wie funktioniert das bei euch?
I think a lot of the time there's a lot of people think there are communities and there actually aren't. Like, there's just people living and they don't come together as communities. I think that's very often the case. So actually when you go into a place assuming, oh, there'll be this group of people and they'll have these songs. Actually, no, that's not happening at all, really. Or there's one or two people. So a lot of the time, I mean, we have a massive amount of songs from all over the place. And we'll just sing anything. I think a couple of our songs are in German, a couple are in English. Most are from other languages and cultures and whatever, that we've been taught on the way. Quite often I'll go with the stuff that I know, but I really want to hear what you've got and from your background. What do you know from your childhood? And let's learn that. And then go from there, really. I think it takes a long time for people to sing and to sort of open up to that. But I think one of my jobs as a community musician is to kind of take that role. It's my job to make a safe space for you, and knowing all the kind of, you know, singing and songs and folk songs and all that sort of stuff can be tricky, but I'll take that role on and we'll make sure it's all fine, even if that makes me kind of, I don't know, uncomfortable or unsure. I'll do that and then we can find out what that is. How is that for us all? Or what should we sing? But also, what I quite like to do, if we sing a song in a language that none of us know, or one of us does, then it instantly levels the playing. We're instantly on eye level, because none of us know the right way of doing this. So, and we can invent our own traditions with it. It's like, okay, I don't, especially like Dortmund. Dortmund is crazy diverse and brilliant. There is no shared tradition, so let's make one. Why not? And we'll go from there.
Habt ihr ein eigenes Songbook? Also habt ihr wirklich eine Liedersammlung inzwischen zusammengestellt in der Zeit?
I've got a notebook full of random stuff that I collect, and we all have one. A lot of community musicians that I know, you sort of collect them as you go. I think you can, I mean, songbooks are great, but they kind of lack relevance to you. So actually, almost all the songs in my notebook are things that someone has taught me at some point. Like, there's a really great song in a sort of traditional Romani language called Shaioria that I know and use quite a lot, that I got taught by some refugees about 6 or 7 years ago. And they kind of went, and we'd learned this in a workshop, and they taught me it. And it was great, and we did a little performance. And I went, can I use this? And they went, yeah, sure, absolutely. And so I've used, and so we have kind of notebooks full of this sort of thing that was relevant once in a place, but also feels like you're passing something on slightly. It's a bit like the jazz oral tradition thing, maybe.
Dein Arbeitgeber ist ja das Konzerthaus Dortmund. Gibt es für dich und das Team von Community Music und Education sowas wie ein regelmäßiges Reporting? Also wie viele Menschen, welches Alter, mit oder ohne Migrationshintergrund ihr in wie vielen Projekten erreicht habt? Bestehen da Benchmarks oder seid ihr da relativ frei?
At first we were, relative free. Now, we do a lot of reporting. It's not as heavy as the stuff in the UK when I was working there. But we have some quite basic reporting. And we have a great development team here at Concerthaus Dortmund who do a lot of the bulk of it. But, yeah, we do a lot of, collecting stats of numbers of people, a little bit on where they come from or what language they speak, because actually that's relevant to us. If we're going to send a letter to everyone locally, what language should we do that in? And that's a nightmare because we do it in about 8 languages and it's not enough. So we collect little bits of data and then a lot of stories, loads and loads of stories. Community music is a reflective practice, so you have to evaluate constantly to make sure you're being relevant and you're doing the things that the community want you to do. So we do a lot of qualitative evaluation. So collecting stories and having focus groups and community meetings and just asking people, like, is this good? What should we do? And that's often also how we start. It's going, okay, hi, I'm from Concerthaus Dortmund. We'd like to make music together. How should we do that? What should we do? Do you play? And go from there. But some very basic reporting. More and more, because as we're trying to make the case for it, but not loads.
Spürst du aus dem Feedback der Menschen und in euren Projekten inzwischen eine Veränderung dieser persönlichen Einstellung zum Konzerthaus? Du hast es schon so ein bisschen eingedeutet durch die 3,5 Jahre, in denen du mit jetzt Menschen sprichst oder die Ladenbesitzer, die dich früher gehasst haben, inzwischen dich zumindest akzeptieren. Also spürst du da eine Veränderung? Kannst du das auch wirklich so sehen, dass Menschen dir jetzt, der Community Music und auch natürlich der Institution offen oder anders begegnen?
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. You totally see, if you manage to work with people for a long time, or not even a long time, sometimes like 6 weeks, or you can see them transform. And it's beautiful and lovely. And sometimes that means they sort of disappear away from you and go off and do something extraordinary. But that's brilliant. Because they've done that, because they've engaged with culture. And I had who ended up being a really great friend, who engaged in some community music work we were doing for ages, and then went off and became an accountant. It's like, that's a completely different, but it just kind of opened his world. And so we see that constantly. And sometimes on those big, big levels, and other times just little moments where people are having a really, really awful day and suddenly just open up. But then also on the institutional level is that when starting out and going, we're a community musician and we're starting a community music thing in a concert house. And that was kind of seen as a bit kind of, but why? And with a bit of kind of maybe fear, perhaps, or kind of trepidation, like, okay, maybe there's changes everything, and we don't want that because we think it's quite good what we do, and it is. And it's not about changing that, but it's about kind of just opening it up to everyone. you know, it says on the front of our building, music for Allah. And so that's what we want to do. And you totally see the change in that. We see, we had the London Symphony Orchestra here recently, and we took over the building with community music workshops throughout the day. And it just felt different. You walked in the building and it just felt different. The atmosphere of the place, the building was alive. And not in a way that you have during a concert, but just, okay, this is a different thing. And that's beautiful and wonderful.
Als das London Symphony bei euch war, da habt ihr ja auch noch Wohnzimmerkonzerte veranstaltet. Wie hat das funktioniert? Wie habt ihr das gemacht?
Yeah, we do. We call them tea time with the LSO. And what you do is we put an open call out, so people apply, and we ask them, why should the London Symphony Orchestra come and play in your living room? And we then kind of pick 6 or 7 good stories or really nice things. And then, yeah, we just send the LSO to them for an hour. And it's quite simple. And then we try and curate it a little bit so there's a real mix. And we're covering as much of Dortmund as we can. But, yeah, we have a real thing of, like, in living rooms or garden parties or on the street. We had a carnival in an Altenheim with the percussion section with like 90 people. It's just wonderful. And we just put the LSO in some taxis from their hotel. They go, you guys are doing an hour's concert, just the two of you. Hopefully you know about this. Off you go. And they're wonderful. And the LSO are fantastic in that world.
Ist es so, dass die LSO-Musiker natürlich damit auch aus ihrer Tradition in Großbritannien enger vertraut sind? Denn das gehört ja auch mit dazu, dass man ein Orchester, was jetzt auf Gastspiel ist bei euch im Konzerthaus, dass man dann die Musiker noch extra bittet, am Nachmittag, wenn vielleicht am Abend noch eine Probe oder sogar ein Konzert ist, dann noch ins Altenheim als Duo zu gehen oder mit der Percussion Section. Das ist ja auch schon eine Herausforderung, aber die Musiker haben da mitgemacht.
Yeah. And the LSO are totally up for it. And brilliant. They have an amazing LSO discovery department that's probably the biggest, I think, biggest music education, music for mid-lung, community music type thing in the UK attached to an orchestra. And, yeah, the bigger problem we have with the London Symphony Orchestra is stopping them doing that sort of stuff. Is the first time we did tea time with the LSO, we had too many musicians wanting to do it from the orchestra. And that's why we ended up putting a marimba in a taxi, like a 5.5 octave marimba in a taxi, because the percussion section, originally it was just going to be one member of it, but then the entire percussion section wanted to go, and so required an entire back line of percussion, orchestral percussion. And we didn't have a van because that was being used for the stage setup. So yeah, we took a 5.5 octave marimba in a taxi, and yeah, because they just... And you talk to any member of the LSO, and that's one of the reasons why they love that orchestra, is that they do this sort of stuff all the time. Is they play in hospitals and they work with kids and all that sort of stuff. And it's just, yeah, it's a lot of fun as well when we get them.
Hast du in den fast 4 Jahren bestimmte Erfahrungen, Learnings gemacht für das persönliche Ansprechen von Menschen durch Musik? Gibt es also Leitsätze? Gibt es so bestimmte Punkte, wo du sagst, das sind die Dinge, die man beachten muss oder die ich gelernt habe in den 4 Jahren, die man auch anderen mit auf den Weg geben kann, die Community Music machen wollen?
I think the biggest thing for me, certainly coming from the UK as well, but also is kind of that thing, is just doing it. As actually, there was a temptation when I started, not just from me, but from institutions and all of this, and musicians, and it's to kind of really want to talk about it. It was similar in Norway when I was there, just kind of, okay, we want to really make sure we're doing this right, and how do we do it? And then, yeah, but what about this, and what about this? And actually... when we really just started doing it and just going, okay, you know what? Let's go. And then we'll worry about it as we... Because there'll be working in communities, you know, there'll be 1,000 other things that happen that you could never have thought of. So we just do it. And then, And that's, I think, for everyone involved, that's been the biggest kind of thing. It's like, okay, we do it, and then let's see. Whether that's a musician or us or whoever.
Okay, also zusammengefasst, just do it.
Just do it. I mean, it's really, as in, like, yeah. Like, how, you know, oh, we want to reach those people that live over there. Well, how do we do that? Well, we just go around and say hello. And then we'll see what comes out from that. And they might not want to talk to us. But we could end, we could write a big 6-week plan about how we're going to do it. Or we could just go and ask them and go from there. And I think that's been a real, yeah. And in Dortmund especially, but also I found this on reflection, I found this in a lot of kind of, when I was working in Northern England in a lot of post-industrial cities, very similar attitude of kind of, yeah, talk about it and we'll go, yeah, okay, fine, whatever. But then you do something and they, people see it and you can build that trust because they go, oh, you meant it when you said this. Okay, we're with you. We have these suggestions. And then you do it. That's where the real strength is, I think.
Ja, und die obligatorische Abschlussfrage in Klangvoll lautet dann immer, was wünschst du dir in der ganz nahen Zukunft ganz konkret für deinen Maschinenraum der Community Music am Konzerthaus Dortmund?
I mean, it's really, we're just going to keep going. That's what I want, is that actually we keep going and then we don't just trans... I mean, this concert hall has kind of changed and it's been wonderful, but actually we're going to change what it means to live in the Brookviertel, in the area, in a really concrete way. It's just going to feel different. Give us another 3 years and it's just, you'll turn up in Dortmund and you go, hang on, this just feels different. And so the concrete thing is just to keep going with it and keep trusting and keep building.
Danke, Matthew, für deine Einblicke in deinen Maschinenraum als Community Musician am Konzerthaus Dortmund. Das war klangvoll. Gerald Mertens im Gespräch mit Matthew Robinson. Vielen Dank.